Okay, we are on page 483-484. In the Hebrew, its last word of the line is lefi, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down last word. And in the English, it's going to be in the middle of a sentence. No, it's the first paragraph. That is a manifestation of the radiation of, as it is in the Garden of Eden. Okay, so this is, I believe eventually gets around to the idea of giving tzedakah. And what he talks about here at the beginning is that you arouse your mercy and you arouse your own compassion, and that will thereby elicit and arouse Hashem's compassion. Okay. And he says that, using the expression, that the peros you eat in this world and the keren kayamis la'olam haba, but the main part is in the world to come. So he says the peros, even then, if that would be the case, would also be in Gan Eden, because olam haba means trias amesim. So we're still getting just the benefits, the interest off of the deeds without actually touching the principle from all the mitzvahs that we did. And so he says, so then he introduces the idea of tzedakah, that tzedakah is a more encompassing type commandment than all the other mitzvahs. And because it is a direct way for conveying Hashem's compassion down here, because when a person gives a poor person tzedakah, they're showing compassion directly to another individual and drawing down compassion to that person. Okay, so now, so it's not lefisha ha'arva hagilu shabagan eden hubabukin is mamali kalomim. Since it is that what is being received in Gan Eden, what the neshama is experiencing in Gan Eden, is mamali kalomim, which means that it's tailor-made specifically for that individual organism. In this case, it's talking about the neshama in Gan Eden. So because it's memale kol olmim, so that means that it's the godliness is specifically directed for and personally tailored for the neshama. Okay, so that how many levels of Gan Eden are there? How many levels are in infinity? Because everybody in the course of their lifetime was able to accomplish varying different things with varying degrees of kavana, of intensity, with, you know, feeling, or however it was that they were doing it. So the level the neshama experiences in Gan Eden is just for that neshama.
Then there's no two levels. There's no two.
The levels are ever, no.
There's no such thing as anyone ever being on the same level as anyone else.
No, probably not.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter.
No,
your neshama doesn't care.
Yeah, yeah. It's
as simple as that.
It's not a group event.
Yeah, you know, we have in mind, we have like Gan Eden, the neshamas are all sitting up there.
Right.
They're all like, you know, you have these scenarios where people are sitting around tables.
Yeah, partying.
And it's a big party, and they're all in this big hallway over there. It's like a big chasana event. That's the way we picture it. But it's not like that at all.
Yeah.
Okay, because your neshama doesn't have any form in and of itself, and it isn't. It's Gan Eden is seeing what you were able to accomplish in what you did in this world, and so since nobody else did what you did in this world, no one else is going to be on the same madrega, the same level to see your accomplishments in this world.
Right. Nor you theirs, I guess.
For sure not.
Sure, yeah.
And it does say that when Mashiach comes, that the tzaddikim will be jealous of each other's position.
Uh-huh.
This guy did what? And look where he got?
Yeah.
I should be much better than that. Yeah, so that's why he says you should do it now. Because if you do it now, then you won't have any regrets later.
Uh-huh.
That what is mamali kol omim? Mamali kol omim is defined as godliness coming down from one level to the level through awesome and awesome containments. Kamayim rizal biyud nivra olam haba, As it says, with the Yud, Hashem created the world to come. That means to say that the whole world to come is an expression of a very little bit of godliness.
Minuscule.
Yeah, analogized by a Yud. A Yud is a point. So what is it? You're working your whole lifetime. So we're not, as we're going to say, why the Alter Rebbe said, I'm not interested in Gan Eden, because I'm working my whole lifetime to tap into the essence of Hashem, to the Ratzayna, and Ratzayna of Chachmas, Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. And what am I getting in Gan Eden? Is I'm getting a dot.
A dot.
Okay, even though it's true, Chachma is a dot, but... And a dot contains infinity. Okay, but... It's still just a dot.
It's a dot.
Kamosha Kosov, cool at Nickers, where am I? Vahi Bechinas Chachma Ilah. And this is going to be even called the higher level of Chachma, which Chachma Ilah usually refers to Atzilus, but nobody gets a Gan Eden in Atzilus. You have to be like a really big time shooter to have your Gan Eden in Atzilus.
Yeah, that's
you know, for the most part, it's you're going to talk. There's people in this generation, we're talking Gan Eden in Asiya Ruchni.
In Berkeley.
At Berkeley, Michigan, for those who are listening at home, not Berkeley, California.
Yeah, really? That's not Gan Eden.
No.
That's Gehenna.
Yeah, okay. Anyway,
sorry.
We're not going to be political.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Okay. So, the. But what. What this point is what's the point of godliness? It's being, because what did the person do? The person sat and learned Torah. The Torah that he learned is the wisdom of Hashem. And what's the wisdom of Hashem is Chachma of Atzilus. So what then is conveyed into Gan Eden is a ray, a bit of Chachma of Atzilus. Hanikra Eden Ha'elyon, which that's referred to as the higher level of Gan Eden, Hamishdaleshes and Lubeshes Bechol Ha'ulamites, which from that now transforms into all the worlds. Okay, so if it is that a person has sat and learned and used their head and studied with any type of great depth, so they're going to merit to the an intellectual godly experience. On whatever level of intellectual experience they happen to be. You could have an intellect. Listen, there's Chachma of Asiya, there's Chachma of Yitzir, there's Chachma of Bria. So if a person has, a person's primarily an Asiya person. His neshama is, that's where his neshama is. And he has been able to accomplish so much, and he's done it with using his intellect. But his intellect is only stuck in the world of Asiya. He can't relate to Yitzira or Bria. So fine. So his Gan Eden Elyon, you might say, for him, is going to be in the world of Asiya. Even though normally we would associate Gan Eden Atachton, the lower level of Gan Eden, in the world of Asiya, but everything's comparable. For this person, Gan Eden Atachton would be the lower levels of Gan Eden, which relate to the emotions. And always it's going to be, if a person experienced an emotional experience, that's Gan Eden Atachton. If they did it through an intellectual experience, that's Gan Eden Elyon. And depending on now, so whatever level happens to be that person is working on, so then they're experiencing those various different levels of Gan Eden. As it says that Chachma enlivens everything you made with Chachma, and Chachma enlivens its master. That, going down right down to it, everything is brought into existence. When you're talking Mamalikol, and the godliness that's appropriated to it is all coming from Chachma. On a simple level, the simple translation of it is you made everything with wisdom. Meaning Hashem had a really good plan, which means that everything in the creation is here by design, and Hashem wants it to be here. That's the simple interpretation of Kulam Chachma Asis. You made everything with wisdom. Everything else. But deeper is that what is the chayas that is enlivening every single organism is Chachma. Because the chachma, even though it's gone through the contraction process, that has been so changed and turned inside out and upside down and back and forth and then all over again, it still maintains its essential integrity of being Hashem's chachma. So even though it's manifest down in this physical world, for example, even, it's still chachma of Hashem. And delay, as it's, and it is the revelation of, so what's Gan Eden? Gan Eden is a revelation of what it is that this person understood. Okay, so we're sitting and learning, you know, here it says, it's like, you know, the different levels. Person sitting and learning, so today, this week he's learning Chumash. And what is he learning in Chumash? So he's learning about making a wash basin in the base of Mikdash out of copper. Okay, so you can draw pictures of it. You got a nice understanding of what it is. There's the various different allegories and stories behind it, that it was made out of the mirrors. It was the only thing that's shown. Yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you'll have a good understanding of what the Kiyur is. Mm-hmm. Okay? But when the person, when the Shoah gets to Gan Eden, so now they understand the Kiyur on a spiritual level, not physical. There's something called, well, what purpose does there need to be a wash basin? I haven't really studied up on it, so I can't give you an example of what that would be, per se. But so now the Neshama, when it comes to Gan Eden, says, oh, this is why I was studying about a wash basin. And it's the same thing also when a person will be studying a Gemara, for example. So Gemara is deeper than Chumash. So there is a lot more intellect that is put into. You have to use a lot more intellect to be able to understand Gemara than you do understand a Chumash. But if you think that the Gemara that you're learning about is about an ox that gores a cow, yeah, it's not.
Yeah, no.
And when a person comes to Gan Eden, so then the trappings, the external trappings, what's an ox according to spirituality, what's a cow according to spirituality, and then a person's learning something like what we're learning today. He's learning about Gan Eden. Okay, so then he's going to see. So he thinks he gets an idea what this is. It's an intellectual understanding, and it's very pleasing because, you know, when you're sitting and trying to break your head, and finally you say, oh, I got it. There's like a geschmack there. This is really cool. You're in the groove. You're just like, wow, this is wonderful. Okay, so here we are studying this Tanya stuff about this spirituality stuff, and we think we get an understanding of it. Yeah, okay, good. When we come to Gan Eden, then we'll see. Oh, yeah, okay, fine. Now I understand the spirituality that this was talking about.
Yeah.
That's why I've mentioned this many times. Somebody presented a illustrated Tanya to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe wrote back, Shayach li Sarif, it should be burned. Because any way that you're going to envision this and say, oh yeah, I can envision this, I could draw a picture of this that we're talking about, Fitzy Lipsker once said, Al Shalom, it's probably idolatrous.
Yeah, it's a problem.
I've used that line
before. Close.
Because we use the word sphere all the time, spheros, the 10 spheros. So as soon as we say the word 10 spheros, so we're thinking bubbles.
Yeah, not.
We're thinking circles.
Yeah.
And the circles, we have these pictures, right? The picture is in a book written by Adam Arishon. He was the first one to do the circles with the lines connecting to the circles.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay? It's not like what it is at all. Right. Why do we call it even a sphere?
Yeah.
Is because the only thing that the 10 spheres have with spheres is they have no beginning, no end.
Right.
That's why it's called a sphere. And a better understanding of the word spheros would be the use in English of the term sphere of influence. When you use the term sphere of influence, you're not imagining this person's like is in a bubble and he's got this like this radiance coming around him, and anybody who comes within that radiance, within that force field, so that's they're affected by this person. That's not what you think about when you think sphere of influence. It's a total not, you couldn't draw a picture of it, in other words.
No.
Okay? So you couldn't draw a picture of the spheres either. Okay? Even though we have little circles with nice lines, and this connects to this, and that connects to that, that's not the way it looks at all. Okay? So then what happens is when we're sitting and we're talking, we're studying about all this really esoteric stuff, so we come to Gan Eden, and it's like, oh, In fact, I don't know which Rebbe referred to it, but I heard it by Hasidish of Abrangans, is that Hasidus is called Mashiach's Aha. You ever heard this? Mm-hmm. That Mashiach is going to come, he's going to start talking. And anybody who learned Hasidus is going to go, aha, now I know what he's talking about. Yes. No, because we've already learned about it. The other people who didn't learn about it are going to scratch their heads for a while and say, how come those guys got better place than we do? I learned a lot of Gemara. So it's known that what are the neshamas doing? They're just reveling in the delight that they have in their understanding the very depth of the concepts that they occupy in Torah in this world. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about like in Niglin, Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, Chumash, you know, etc. Ubazar Kadosh Parsha Shlach Ubagaram Gemara Beuvda de Rabba Bar Nachmani. It says it over there, it talks about it more. But what's going to be, I didn't go into that because I want to get to this. What's going to be by Trias HaMesim? Mm. Now, so he still calls, by Trias HaMesim is like, that's the end all. And then we've been describing, we've talked about it, what Trias HaMesim is, that the physics changes. You'll see three dimensions, but the three dimensions will contain infinite dimensions. You'll see infinity within every object. You'll see the godliness that's enlivening that thing. Mm. Okay? But here, he still calls it a ha'ara.
Yeah.
It's, you're not going to see God in his essence. We already have that statement from the Torah, from Parshas Kisisa,
right,
where Hashem says, no one can see me and live. It's not going to happen. Okay? But, listen, for what we get, I personally am not going to complain by Trias HaMesim and start singing, is that all there is? Is that all there is?
Yeah.
No. The Alter Rebbe maybe, yeah. But me...
You sound a little like in my...
Yeah. So ye have a vachina saviv kol olam she'enu vachina simsum v'shir ha'gvul ela b'li gvul v'tachlis k'moshe k'zul v'lakut yomorim perek mamches. Because what is it that will be revealed then is if you've got infinity going on, infinity is not really contained by anything. So what you have, the Trias HaMesim that makes it so different, even from different from this world, different than Gan Eden, is because what's going to be revealed is Soviv Kolomin. And we talked last week, and we talked a zillion times, that Soviv doesn't mean encompassed. Soviv, as he said, Perek Memchas, Soviv, he says, means that it's too great to be appreciated. Like the expression of that lecture that I listened to went right over my head. Had it gone into your head, so now you're talking about hasaga and comprehension and doing something with the information, but if it goes right over your head, guess what? It's enveloped you. It's encompassed you. Mm. You didn't get totally nothing unless the person was speaking a foreign language. Mm. You know, there's something maybe, you know, a couple of points here and there, but the...
there was a lecture.
Yeah, at least you realize you're sitting in a lecture, yeah. Yeah, so there's something there, and even let's just say, for example, let's talk about it. This was always a point of concern. I don't know if you heard this, but going to the Rebbe's for Brangens. Mm-hmm. Okay? So for 2 years and change, when I went to the Rebbe's for Brangens, I understood not one word, because I didn't speak Yiddish well enough. Mm-hmm. And the question was, well, the Rebbe starts for bringing at 1:30 on Shabbos. Maybe I'll take my time davening, I'll learn a little bit, I'll come for the end, which is when it was exciting, when the Rebbe was singing all the songs. And, you know, what do I have to stand there for? So I was told, unequivocally, your neshama understands. He said, I don't understand. Your neshama gets it. Okay, so therefore, what part of my neshama gets it? My neshama is involved with understanding, with feeling, with doing. So, not that part. It's the part that deals with Ratzon. It's a a soul experience. It's an encompassing experience. The lectures of under the Farbrengens, the Sichas, enveloped. Okay. Did I appreciate it? I have now in my car an iPod. It has all the sichas that the Rebbe ever said that were recorded. Okay, so I know that I was at this Farbrengen. Because I know when a Farbrengen will come out, I'll think, where was I when this Farbrengen was held? Okay, and so now I'm listening to him. So now Baruch Hashem, I know I can understand the Farbrengens. And I'm listening to a Farbrengen say from like right now today. I listened in a car to a Farbrengen Shabbos Parshas Vayakel Pekudei Tavshin Lamed Tes. And I don't recall hearing any of this material. You know, did I understand? Am I able to understand it now because this is a review for me? And my neshama is saying, yeah, I got this in 79. Yeah. This is what the Rebbe said. Yeah. Remember this. This is a good point coming up. Wait. Here, listen to this. That not consciously, to me it sounds brand new. So how is it that this Soviv Kolomim affected my neshama then, or affects my neshama now? I haven't got a clue. Because right now, Soviv and Mamali don't really interact. They don't have a whole lot to do. There's not a bridge between Soviv and Mamali. Because if there would, the Soviv would be Mamali. It's that simple. You know, so there's this separation that Soviv is Soviv, and it stays that way. Soviv is defined as being beyond what you're able to cognitate. Mm. So guess what? You're still being unable to cognitate it because it's still Soviv. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now that I listen to it and I can understand the Farbrengen, so that's Panemius. That's already, it's a saga. That's my using my intellect.
Mm-hmm. When are we going to get to the Mamali?
Yeah, okay, thanks. So
that's not on you, that's on me.
Yeah. It's not limited, it's unlimited, and that's why we can't grasp it, because Soviv Kolomim doesn't mean that it's just beyond my grasp. Soviv Kolomim means it's not graspable. There's things we could talk about that are just beyond your grasp.
Okay.
Like, for example, the Rebbe, not understanding the Rebbe because you don't understand Yiddish. It's not that the concepts are so hard, because if I were to tell you what the Rebbe said in English, you'd understand them. Soviv Kolomim is, I can't explain it to you because it's not explainable. It's beyond that. It's beyond our comprehension. And it maintains that the whole way through the entire creation process, right down to this physical world. Soviv Kolomim is Soviv Kolomim. It's an expression of divine will. As explained in chapter 48 of Tanya, Be Your Inyan Soviv Kolomim, She'en Kama Shema Kama Igel Chas V'Sholem. He says, it's not a circle. It doesn't enclose itself. It doesn't allow itself to be appreciated in an inner matter. Because if it did, it would be inner. It wouldn't be Soviv anymore. But stop thinking circles. Okay? So that's just the way. That's why you can't have an illustrated Tanya. Because just like it is that Oris and Kalim is not pots full of water, so Soviv Kolomim is not being enveloped by some godly force field. It says at the end of Masechta Tainis that the Hashem Mashiach is going to come and they're going to make a big dance. And all the Tzaddikim are going to be dancing around the Hashem. They're going to be dancing around the Shechina and pointing Ki Hu Zeh. Zeh Kelivan Veu. This is the God. This is Him. And they're going to have their crowns on their head as they're dancing around in the circle around the Hashem. What's a crown? A crown's circumferences. There's not a word. Circumferences the head. That's not the word I want to use.
Okay.
That sounds like a word I just made up. Yeah. It goes around the head. So it sits on top of the head. It is external to the head. It is the only reason why a person wears a crown is for adornment purposes. is to make the person have a certain specific appearance. Mm. That's why a crown is worn. Mm. So it doesn't relate to, you could be very stupid and wear a crown. It doesn't tell me anything about your IQ. Yeah. It doesn't tell me anything about your IQ, the fact that you have a crown on. It just tells me that you are in the right place at the right time and you get to wear the crown.
You've got a head to put one on.
Yeah. Okay, so he says, so now Mashiach is going to come and we're going to have these crowns on our head. What's that mean? It means that we're going to have an appreciation of the Soviv. Where is it? It's on our head. Because our intellect is going to relate to the godliness, which is now Soviv Kolomim. It will be relatable. So I'm saying physics is going to change. Mm. The Soviv is still going to be Soviv. The Mamali is still going to be Mamali. 3D is still going to be 3D, but there'll be a bridge. Everything's going to still be what it was. It's not that it's like now it would be if the Soviv was appreciable, so then it would be Mamali. But then when by Tchias HaMeisim, the Soviv will be appreciated and it will still be Soviv. Mm. We will be able to do that because Hashem will allow that to happen. Could Hashem allow that to happen now? Sure. But guess what? That would be Tchias HaMeisim. That's what Tchias HaMeisim is the ability to appreciate this greater level of Elokus. That's what it says when you have something called a personal Mashiach. You have various, there's something called Mashiach HaPrati. Like it says about Isaac Humler. The story that we've probably told, I don't know, half a dozen times, that he in his later years moved to Tzfat, and one day he's sitting there and there's this noise in the street that Mashiach has come.
Right.
And so he opened up the window and he took a sniff and says, no, Mashiach hasn't come.
Nice.
So he asked the question, even though he can't ask questions on a story, why did he open the window to sniff? And if he knew what Mashiach helped, what did the sniff, why did he sniff? And if he knew what Mashiach smelled like, why did he open the window? That's the way it goes. Okay, so it says, Tantaka, in his room, it was Mashiach. Yeah. There was this Giloy Elokus in his room. He had to open the window, stick his nose outside, and say, nah, it's not the same as my room. I've got Mashiach in here, and it's not out there. So there is this level of Mashiach, a prati, this personal level of Mashiach that a person is able through their own actions to ascribe to. It says about Shimon Bar Yochai. I mean, who are we talking about? You're talking about Isaac Humler. You're talking about Menachem Haradoker. Menachem Haradoker, who was the Alter Rebbe's Rebbe for a while. And Shimon Bar Yochai, it says, never experienced the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He was in Yerushalayim when it happened. What do you mean? Because he never lost the Giloy from the Beis HaMikdash. So such people, for them, they have their personal Mashiach. The Rebbe would mention this sometimes. Every Sefer that the Rebbe spoke, he always ended, Mashiach should come right now or soon or something like that. Okay. And there were times when the Rebbe would say, and I'm not talking about a Mashiach Prati for some specific individuals, I'm talking about a Mashiach HaKlali, a Mashiach for the whole entire world. And he would use the expression, Lamata Masorat Tvachim. Down here in this physical world that we can see it. Okay? V'nikra keser v'leshen keseris. And the word keser here, which means crown, is called a keser. There's no exact synonyms in Hebrew. Okay, a tara, which is a crown, and a keser is a crown. So a tara means, it comes from the idea like to adorn. Okay, whereas keser, a kateres, is a capital, which is a thing that hangs on the front of a building, right? You know about building. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm not per se a maven in architecture, but it's a part of the facade on the outside of a building is a capital. That's what a keseris is.
Okay,
so it goes around. What does keser do? Keser has an intrinsic function in the creation process. It's the keystone. It's that specific which is holding the whole entire Seder Histalshalis together, is keser. Because If it would be, we've talked about this before, if it would be that you have a Tzimtzum HaRishon, the first contraction in Hashem, the first containment, okay, which revealed Hashem's finiteness. And then what happened is now the creation process started. So guess where would it end at that point? It would never end. Because it would just be contained and contained and contained, because that's all Bira, that's all Creator. At some point, there has to be a Nivra, there has to be an object of the creation. So Keser is, relates to the Creator, because it's divine will, and will is a totality. But it's Keser means the crown, which goes on top of the intellect, which means it relates to intellect as well. So it is the that coupling between Creator and Created. The Rebbe Rashab goes into this at great length at the beginning of Samach Vav. You remember Samach Vav?
It's starting right now.
Okay. So Samach Vav, it talks there about the levels, the different level of Pnimius HaKesser and Chatzinius HaKesser, and which one really is it, and it gets down to like, because if you're going to start cutting things in half, you're going to start splitting things in Kesser also, so it's not really the Chatzinius of the Kesser, it's really the Pnimius of the Chatzinius of the Kesser, so, you know, and this is the way it goes, because that's going to... this only because the external aspects of Keser only relates to Nivra, and the internal levels of Keser only relates to Bora, to Creator. So where's the connection? Okay, you say it's all in Keser, but you got this level relates to this, and this level relates. So we just split them in half. It didn't do anything for us. So we say the point where they connect, the inside and the outside connect. So that's the connection piece. Okay, Chochmah of Keser, you know, etc. Ola asid yarvis galav elam zelikol tzadikim shekimo betachia va'amakulam tzadikim. And then what's going to be? Mashiach is going to come, and we're going to have this great revelation down here in this physical world. The world is not going to lose its physicality. What's going to be lost is our perception. We're going to give up that old time way of looking at it. And we're going to do a new way of looking at it. We'll be able to see different things. Now we look at it, we see it a certain way. Hashem's going to allow us to see it in a different way. But he says this is only reserved for the righteous, for the tzaddikim. But then he puts in the parenthesis, don't get scared. Va'amech kulam tzaddikim. You're a nation of righteous people. We're all tzaddikim. Okay? Because when presented with this information, you know, why is it that anybody does anything wrong? Is first the idea that they don't think they're doing anything wrong, but they don't see, the Alter Rebbe explains, and we learned it, is that they don't think that they're going to lose the connection that they have. Because it's not wrong, I'm not going to lose the connection that I have. Okay, so like this, Mashiach is going to come. So therefore, what? Mashiach is going to come. And there's going to be a great Gilui. And people are not going to want to do anything wrong because... how could you possibly do anything to disconnect yourself from that level of Elokus?
Right.
You'll be able to see that if I do this, this will be the ramifications as far as spirituality goes. What does it mean? We don't have any free choice. Okay, so we're in a free choice. Okay, but the world will be in a state of perfection at that point. V'zeo shamarizal asidim tzadikim shiomer lifneim kadosh. That's what it says in the future. Mashiach is going to come, and the tzaddikim are going to say kaddish, kaddish, like the malachim do. Ki kaddish uvuchin is muvdal she'ena begeder hasaga vidas. Because what's kaddish? The word kaddish means removed. Sanctified means removed. And when Mashiach comes, that those things which were in a level or in a state of being removed from comprehension, it'll be understood, first of all, but kihula maila maila v'chinas hachachma v'dash began Eden. It's at a much higher level than Gan Eden. Even Gan Eden understand. Okay, Gan Eden, why not? Is because Gan Eden is just an expression of the Yud. It's just a point of this, a little bit of ray of godliness. Comes now, Tchiyas HaMesim, okay, he said, it's a ha'ara of Elokuz, But it's the difference is in Gan Eden, it's a ha'ara of Mamalik Halalnu, of Pnimius, that which is tailor-made. And when Mashiach comes, it's a ha'ara of Soviv Halalnu. And the word Soviv means is you don't understand it. It's not revealed. It's not manifest. So it will be manifest. And what's going to be manifest? If what the deal is if you manifest some of it, you manifest all of it. When you get a piece of it, you get the whole thing. Like now we say, when you're doing Hashem's will, it's not you're doing something of what Hashem wants. The Alter Rebbe before equates every transgression like idolatry. The slightest littlest sin that we trample on with our heels on a daily basis. The Alter Rebbe says it's akin to idolatry. Why? Because what's idolatry? Idolatry is going against the will of Hashem.
Right.
So this is the person did this little tiny thing wrong. It's going against the will of Hashem. So if we translate that the will going against the will of Hashem is idolatry, so this little thing is going against the will of Hashem. So it's also idolatry. This is not bowing down in front of an idol. This is just a little tiny, you know, whatever we do, whatever people do it every day, and you know, we don't continue. But you know what the author of Rebbe calls a person who does just a little sin every single day and just keeps going thinking, it's just a little sin. Rasha Gomer.
Yeah.
Rasha Gomer is defined as somebody who has no remorse. He did it. He's just going, people do this. I'm going weiter. Good. Welcome to the club. So. Ki hu l'mayla m'ayla v'chimza chochma v'dashu v'gan in ki chochma me'ayin t'motzei. See, because it says Chachma comes from Ayin. Before, the literal translation is from where does wisdom come? But the Hasidic translation is Chachma comes me Ayin. Chachma come me Ayin means from where. But Chachma also means from nothing. Okay, that's how you sing it. Okay, so ayin of what? That keser compared to wisdom, will compared to wisdom is considered like a nothing. Because wisdom is internalized. It's the highest level of our neshama. That highest level of our neshama recognizes itself as being the highest level of our neshama. It doesn't recognize that it came from any place. Because it's the highest level. So therefore, where did it come from? It came from Ayin. It came from nothing. I don't see anything where it came from. It came from nothing. So that's one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it is since that the Keser is Soviv Kolomim, in order for there to be this connection between Keser, the desire, and Chachma, the wisdom, you have to have a quantum leap. Yeah. You have to get out of the system of want and desire and into the system of intellect and emotion. What do we call in simple Hebrew that leap from Sovev to Mamale? Remember we said there's no bridges between the two. What do we call it? We call it a Bria Yesh Ma'ayin. We call it a creation of a something from a nothing. Because our intellect, our persona even, who we are, doesn't recognize that we came from anything. So it's like we came from nothing. Here we are, da 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 da, here I is. So that nothing, so we can translate it, and we see this in Chassidus very often. It says, Chachma me'ayin, and then in parenthesis, it puts the word dekeser to matze. Chachma from the nothing of keser came from it. Okay? Vubuchinus Kesser, Elian Hanikra, Ayin Bezora Kurdish. Hashbasava Harasa, Vubuchinus Gilo, U, Dafka Kihashanashamatis Labish Beguf Zach Vitzach, Acher Hatria. And when is it that you get the Kesser coming down and you can appreciate it and it's like right here and we're in the groove and we're all having a wonderful time? Is specifically once the Neshama is resurrected in a physical body. Since it is that, the whole reason. Why Seder Histalshus, the creation process, was begun was for the eventuality of Trias HaMeisim. So then, when is it that we appreciate what it is that Hashem did is by Tchiyas HaMeisim. It's simple. Since the end result is Tchiyas HaMeisim, that's what Hashem wants. That's the goal we're working to. Okay, Hashem started the world. You don't start a process. I think we mentioned this last week, the week before. You don't start a project to get halfway through.
Right.
My goal in starting this project is to get halfway through and to see what's going to happen next.
It's a good idea.
No, we don't do that. Our goal when we start a project is to finish. That's the expression "Nais Tchilas and Besayfan." That you start a project, the end is implanted in the beginning. What does that mean? Sounds very, very fancy. The end is planted in the beginning. What it means is the reason why you start anything is to finish it. So, the end game is Tchiyas HaMeisim. Hashem made the whole world for what? That we should be sitting and eating kugel on Shabbos. It's nice. It's a good thing. I'm not complaining. But, no. Hashem made the world for Tchiyas HaMeisim. Kugel is one thing. Kugel is called a kugel because the word kugel in Yiddish means round. Did you know that? Yeah, the word kugel means round because people used to make them on top of the stove and they used to make them in frying pans.
Right.
And they were round.
Right.
Okay, so kugel's round. So it's similar to Soviet Kolomi. Very, very little. Okay. If it's a good enough kugel,
really?
So then you'll have tainug from it. It'll be similar to the tzitzis on Shabbos, similar to the tainug. We're close enough to Purim. We could talk like this still.
Nah.
Yeah. Okay. This is a Purim Torah.
You got that right.
Okay. So specifically, when the body has been purified, so that it can recognize this godliness now. With physical eyes. So if Mother Sharma Tzekhila, called Kenaida. Again, the word, this is how we started this whole thing. Kenaida. Okay, this is the whole reason why the whole thing started is we're working toward the end game. The exit plan is what we're working for. Okay? It's like working for your retirement. Yes. Okay, and for this, I'm recommending the one of Schellenberg's favorite parables, I doubt it's a story that ever happened, mm-hmm. It involves a poor tailor by the name of Chaim, mm. And Chaim has a bunch of kids, and he lives in a little shack, mm. And he has a wife that yells at him all the time, what else is news? Mm. And one day the squire, the parrot, comes in and says, I'm having a party this Friday, I need 200 new uniforms, can you make them for me? So he starts banging, I'm just a poor tailor, what are this, a 200, I don't have it. So the wife says, yes, we can do it. The parrot says, good, terrific, come over and take the measurements of the 200 servants. So she says, we're going to need money for up front, for material and this type of stuff. So he says, fine, you'll get the measurements, I'll give you the cash that you'll need, yada. So he says, Chaim says to his wife, how can we do this? It's 200 uniforms. There's no way. We don't even have material. She says, this is what we do. We go right now and we measure all of the servants. Then we travel all night to the fair. And in the morning, we buy the material. Then we travel all the way back. And we start working. We work day and night. It's not that long. We work day and night. We knock out the 200 uniforms. This is okay, fine. Good. I'll go along with it. To me, it sounds absolutely dreadful, but, So they travel all night, and they get there. The market's not open yet. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. The market doesn't open until late.
Right.
So she says, we got to rest up a little bit. We'll take, we need whatever sleep we can get. So they check into a little inn over there. And he says, listen, I really got to go daven. It's more than I need to sleep at this point. I got to daven. You can't stop me from daven. He says, okay, fine. She's fine. He says, you'll find a shtiebel. You go daven and come right back.
Mm.
Don't get hung up over there.
Mm.
It just so happened the shtiebel that he went to around the corner from this inn happened to be, there was a rebbele there.
Mm.
And it was the rebbele had yortzeit for his father.
Mm.
And so after davening, so he took his time davening because he's davening for his father. And after davening, so they had atikon, with herring and schnapps and kichel, and the Rebbe is talking stories about his father, what a tzaddik he was, and it's 9 o'clock, it's 9:30, it's almost 10 o'clock, and this woman is having apoplexy. And she comes around, she storms into the base medrash, and Sheldon Bear Gordon used to always mention, which was an unheard of thing for a woman to walk into a shul in the men's section. Storms right up to her husband and says, Chaim, we have to go right now. So Chaim says, where do we have to go? She says, you're out of your bottle. We have to go buy the fabric. He says, what do we need with fabric? He says, hey, you're in Gantz and Meshuggah. He says, we have to buy the fabric to go back and make the uniforms. He says, what do we need the uniforms for? What do we need to make uniforms for? She says, yold. He says, we make the uniforms, and then the pirates will pay us. And he says, and what will be when the pirates will pay us? She's like, at this point, she's ready to rip his eyes out.
Yeah.
She says, because then we'll be happy. So he says to her, you need to go buy fabric and travel all the way back and work day and night to make uniforms and get paid by the pirates, and then you'll be happy. I'm happy right now. Okay, so, and that's the point of this story is it's exactly the opposite of what the Alter Rebbe wanted to make.
Exactly.
Would he have been happier had he made it? That's where the story ends. We don't know what happened after that.
Exactly.
His wife took out a frying pan and smacked him upside the head with it, you know, so.
Hence we got the name Kugel.
Yeah, hence we got the name Kugel. Exactly. So, in this world, we think it's good, it's not as good as it could be. What we appreciate, what we understand, the insights that we have, they're all very good.
Mm.
Okay? But they're Kugel.
Kugel, yes. With grade 3 potatoes.
No, grade A potatoes.
Grade A, okay.
Best grade potatoes. It's the best we got.
Best we got. Okay, good.
Okay. Allah, Yev Shalah, Gil Madrigazu, Achieh, Gan Eden, Techil, Allah, Hasig, Ruhinus, Chachme, Allah. Okay, before you can experience Trias Amesim, you're going to have to go to Gan Eden. So that way, I'm getting nervous over here. Mashiach is going to come right now. We believe. When's Mashiach coming? Right. Not now. Tomorrow.
No, now.
Now. Okay, so I have to experience Gan Eden? And the answer is, well, yeah. But it doesn't say how long you have to experience Gan Eden for, because Gan Eden is not a time-oriented thing.
Right.
There's no time in Gan Eden.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way it was described to me is a person is going to, Mashiach is going to come, and Trias HaMesim, da-da-da-da, everybody dies. And it'll be like waking up from a really realistic dream. We'll be dead for, on the clock, it'll be just like a very short instance. Like if you ever have like a Dremel and you open up your eyes, oh yeah, I was asleep. And since you'll open your eyes, you'll say, oh, this is reality, that was a dream.
Mm.
Okay, so in the meantime, in that short instance, that you did that from the time that we went from Olam Hazeh to Trias HaMesim, so guess what, your neshama goes through Gan Eden too. How long did it take? Doesn't take any time at all. So don't get nervous about dying.
There's no time.
Yeah. Kol chag nefesh shira delei, everybody according to their own level, v'tal Torah mechayehu, the dew of Torah, which is known as chassidus, is going to enliven him. V'akitzus hu teshuchecha v'dal. And and when you'll awake, it will speak for you, and it suffices for those who understand it. So I've just tried explaining it for the better part of an hour, and I hope that it suffices. This is what I mean. The rest of this part is very easy. It's mostly psukim, so we're just going to do this. We say until, and he started out this how he started the letter, that your mitzvahs are very broad. But who mitzvahs had tzedakah? You know, here's the hook. That this is the mitzvah of tzedakah. You want to get to Gan Eden. What's your ticket to Gan Eden? You want to arouse divine mercy. How are you going to divine mercy? You have to be merciful first. How are you going to be merciful?
Tzedakah.
Give tzedakah. And since this is the Alter Rebbe saying it, to where are you going to give tzedakah? Kol Chabad. Shehu kli v'shetach rachav ma'od lehislavish ba ha'aris orin se baruchu. Tzedakah is the best mitzvah for bringing down Elokus into this world. Because when a person puts on tefillin, so they put on tefillin for how long they put on tefillin. And their intentions, their kavanas were how much ever was their kavanas. It's all very limited. It's very good, but it's very limited. Person gives money to a person to a poor person. He's not giving a specific limited amount. That's not what's the thing. He's giving of his himself in entirety. As we talked about this every mitzvah letter, and even before when we talk about it. He had to go to work. He could have used his money himself. He's giving of his entirety to this individual. For how long? It's not just how long the money's going to last. It basically is for an eternity. Because right now, this person is alive. So for this moment, you could say this person is infinitely alive. For this moment. So the giving of, I know that sounds really weird, but so the giving of tzedakah provides a broad vehicle for divine mercy to come into this world. So then what happens, that in the future you're going to see it, that it'll shine without any limit or end, with unwarranted kindness. Because really, why did Hashem, what's the bottom line behind Hashem's creating the world? He wanted to because he's a nice guy. Did he have a reason why on the ultimate, why Hashem's keeping us alive? Yeah, he wanted to do it, it's a nice thing. Chesed chino. U'bisarusa v'latata zu nikra derech Hashem. And when we go and we give tzedakah, that now is an arousal from below. That's our putting in our impetus to try and arouse divine mercy. That's called going on the path of Hashem. It says you should go on the path, you should follow Hashem and go on his path. Okay, so how are you going to follow Hashem? It's not by running quick. You have to, exactly. So the best way is with tzedakah. V'zel lashin ma'oit shehu b'li gvul v'tachlis. Okay? V'rachava mitzvosecha ma'oit. Not that your mitzvahs are just wide, they're very wide. What does very wide mean? Very wide means without limit, without end. Avalakol tichla re'isi case. But it says for all purposes, I see there's an end. That's the beginning part of the verse. Tichla humalash and kalais hanafish are begun Eden. The word tichla, purpose, comes from the same word as kalais hanafish. Kalais hanafish means to expire. Like nadav and aviyu.
Right.
Okay. What happened to nadav and aviyu's neshamas after they left the body?
They went to Hashem.
They went to Gan Eden.
Went to Hashem.
Yeah. And they're sitting there waiting and they're having a grand time. Yeah, thank you very much. Okay. So, and what are they doing up there, knowing the nature of nadav and aviyu? They're still in a state of klais and nefesh. They're still expiring, even in Gan Eden. Okay, they had neshamas of Atzilus. They're like up there, incorporated someplace in some sphere somewhere, totally, completely lost in themselves. Okay, so. There's just so much you can expire. You get exposed to too much, you lose it because you hit your end. What is kalais hanefesh? It's an ava, but kalais hanefesh. A love of Hashem so much so the person drops dead. Like not even a view. What does that mean? Is, very bad example. You have a chocolate brownie, and you stick it in your mouth, and your sensors in your brain go pop, 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 all the synapses are slamming closed and open, and all the serotonins and all these things are going, and your brain, and you're just like going, wow, this is awesome. Okay? When a person experiences, and then what happens? You go weiter. Life goes on. What happened with Nadav and Aviyu, for example? That's not called Kalesa Nefesh. That's called Ava B'Tanugim. You like it, you really like it. But Kalesa Nefesh beyond that is the synapses are all open and the brain is just like totally, completely bathed, flooded with all those chemicals. And the neshama says, I can't go any further than this, and I really want to, and it's only because of the constraints of my body that I can't do anymore. I'm leaving my body.
I'm out of here.
Okay, I hit my wall. This is it. This is as far as I can go. I've got everything open as much as I possibly can. That's what happened with Nadav and Avihu.
I thought when Hashem can let you, there's Neshama go up.
You want to say, Baal Korach HaTecha, you live by force. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, I don't know how Kolos HaNefesh works. I haven't experienced it. And I'm between you and me, I don't want to either.
I was going to say, the only way you have permission to do it is if you come back and let us know.
Yeah, right. You know? So if I got to die and Kolos HaNefesh is the way to do it, so okay, when I'm 120, so Hashem will, like, you know, give me a little bit of, show me the love.
Yeah, a little nudge.
And I'll, you know, my soul will fly out of my body because I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Okay? You're right. I mean, none of it of you, it was their they died exactly the moment they were supposed to die.
Right.
Yes, and we do call it dying. And they were called sinners because they died when they weren't supposed to, when they did something that they weren't supposed to do and they died. Okay. And it says to all purpose, to all end, because there's infinite numbers of levels in Gan Eden, one higher than the other. Adrema Miles to the highest of levels, Kashur of Moshe Kazabal Kuti Terah. The Kluchiti Ashas Marizal is discussed in the Kabbalah, the Pirish Marayma Rizal, when he explains the saying of our sages, Tami de Chachamim, Ein Lehem Menucha, Loilam Oilam Azev, Loilam Ha'olam Ha'aba, Zekulu. It says, the righteous, there is no rest unto the righteous, not in this world, not in the world to come. The neshamas of the tzaddikim are constantly striving to get to the next level of godly experience. That they're constantly growing and going from one level because of that, which each level they achieve a new comprehension of the Torah. And they just keep on going. Until Matriya Samesim is going to come, we're going to get to the final point that we're able to say, that's it, this is where you go. As much as you got now, this is where you're staying. You've now hit your terminus. It's the end of the line. Live happily ever after. And with that, we want to wish you all that you also live happily ever after. To be continued next week with chapter 18.
Thank you.